my favorite bumper sticker, or my current favorite bumper sticker, horn broken, watch for finger. Some of these I don't remember where they came from. But I'll make something up that might be better. It's kind of like when you're at the movies and you're watching a really bad film and someone leans in and says, "You know, this is a true story." Does it really improve the film?
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music that other people don't like. What's that all about, Tommy?
Tom, I don't know. I'm doing this whole episode like this.
Oh, God. I'm of course, joined by the Prince of Piss.
Tommy Waits.
Tommy Waits. Tommy Waits, Tommy Waits, Tommy Waits. How you doing, pal? You doing good?
Yes, I'm doing good.
This is like the first time we've seen each other since
That's true.
Since I got back.
You saw the ants before you saw me.
That's true. Those ants were marching all over my room. I have about 200 ants in my room. I'm talking about the gay comedian from the early 2000s. They suck. They're really annoying me with hokey jokes and not allowing me to move on in Last Comic Standing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they told me to get out. No, I had 200 real ants. It sucks. Anyway, let's get to our guest today. We have John Bellantini. Thanks for coming on the show, dude.
Thank you for having me.
We are going to be talking Tom Waits, but first, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing pretty well.
What's new with you?
Not too much. Nane, you had Patton. You had Doug Benson and now Bellantini.
The Mount Rushmore. Those are the big four. Yeah.
I'm doing great. And I'm a big fan of the podcast. I'm a big fan of you guys in general, skins and people.
Oh, you're a good man.
I think if Tommy wants to play with piss, he might as well.
Now this is why you're here.
I'm not saying I'm a fan, but you know what? If it makes you happy, Tommy.
I heard, I was reading his journal the other day, and I'm really sorry for that invasion of your privacy there, pal, but he said that his dream is if he could get a fire hydrant and fill it with piss and dance around it in the streets. So I don't know.
Now, why isn't my I have a dream speech as loud as the other one?
I have a dream that the streets will be flooded with piss.
So I chose that quote that we opened with. First of all, the bumper sticker thing is very... It's funny that he thinks like something a sarcastic 13-year-old would think is funny.
Yeah. I saw a bumper sticker and Calvin was pissing all over.
He's way less cool than he makes himself out to be.
For
sure. He's like kind of like Anthony Bourdain, where he thinks he's a badass,
totally.
But he's just kind of an old man.
And also I love that he talks about when you're in a movie and someone leans over to say this is based on a true story, which I don't think that ever happens.
No, that's pretty rare, except for when I saw the Amityville Horror, somebody did that to me.
Someone you didn't know?
No, it was somebody I did know. That'd be really strange if it was somebody I didn't know. Right?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought he was saying.
Is that what he means?
I don't know.
I don't think I've ever had anybody lean over to me in a movie theater. Except for when I'm getting that sweet head.
Damn.
That sweet movie theater bloge.
Have I told my story of my one time a woman leaned over to me in a movie theater here?
No.
I was seeing the movie The Road. And during the trailer, I pulled up my phone and answered a text very quickly, I thought. And this woman leans over to me and she goes, "Out of respect for Cormac McCarthy... put your phone away."
Oh my God. Yeah. Have you no respect for the original Mac Man?
He was in the back of the theater the entire time and he saw it.
Yeah. He was so ashamed.
Never adapting another thing again.
Damn, Cormac.
More you like your blood meridian, now you're not going to get it.
Have you ever had anybody talk to you in the theater there, John?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, I don't even... talk to interact with my wife when I'm in the theater.
I
like that. Yeah.
Curl up in the corner, stare straight
That's the
ahead.
Only place you can get your wife to shut up.
Oh, no.
Not just your wife. I mean wives in general.
Oh, you know how wives are. That's just,
We had Tommy's girlfriend on the podcast. She talked the whole show.
Ask her a question. Off she goes.
She just answered it.
She had opinions on music. And it was
you can't win with these broads.
You really can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't like when friends talk to me at the movies.
I have a growing level of popularity.
What the hell
was
that?
Here's what happened.
Okay.
My computer shut off, and then I turned it back on, and then it immediately started playing this interview.
Oh, I see. I didn't realize that. If your thing's dying so hard, you can unplug
it. It's not dying. It just sometimes it randomly turns off as punishment for my many sins.
Your parents have a cap on it. If you look at enough piss videos, you have they let you look at some, but you have a cap.
Everything in moderation, yeah.
Oh,
that's
man.
That's a good way to be raised.
That's true.
Good parents.
Yeah, including murder.
Finish your dinner,
everything.
Then you can play with piss. And
yes.
Makes sense.
How can you have your pissing if you don't have your piss? I didn't know which one to switch out, so
wow.
I just did both.
I like it. Yeah. Let's talk really quickly about the subject matter today. Tom Waits, here's the deal. I know... Here's the deal.
Well, we know Jerry Seinfeld tunes in a lot, and he always asks, what's the deal?
And so, Jerry, here's the deal.
This is our new segment, Jerry, here's the deal.
Jerry, here's the deal. Yes, maybe not everybody hates Tom Waits. I think the thing with Tom Waits is because he's kind of a niche taste, mm-hmm. A lot of people don't hate, they just either don't care or they love.
Or they're very passionate.
And
about
we
it,
found yeah. that with the Facebook comments today, but we're going to listen to the, we're going to do things a little differently today. Tommy got a wild hair up his old pisser and decided, what if we listen to the playlist first today and then hold in our thoughts while we maybe seethe or maybe rejoice with okay. through your playlist. And that way the listener kind of gets an introduction to Tom Waits if you don't know him.
Yeah, just because I think a lot of people won't have heard a lot of these songs.
Yeah, and I also purposely didn't pick his best known songs because honestly, his best known songs were made popular by other people.
Interesting.
Like Jersey Girl... is everyone thinks of as a
Springsteen
song.
Yeah,
Downtown
yeah.
Train is Rod
by
Stewart.
By Train, of course.
Yeah, sure. By Train. Train featuring Rod Stewart, yeah. Exactly. So, like, he doesn't really have singles so much
mm-hmm. right.
as just 50 years of songs.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, of drunken rambling.
Yeah, I hadn't heard any of these before, so I think that I, as well as the guests, or the... Well, you're the guest, but the listener will want to hear some of this.
And these are in chronological order?
Yeah, they are actually in chronological order. And what I tried to do was, because he has his catalog is so huge, I tried to sort of, they're not necessarily my favorite songs, but I was trying to pick things to represent the different eras in his career.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
There are a couple that I picked for sentimental reasons, but for the most part, it was trying to cover everything. Because it's if some of the bands, like if it's Aqua, you know, everyone's going to pick the six Aqua.
Choose
songs.
Your words wisely.
I did listen to that episode.
Tommy, you may recall, Tommy shockingly gave Aqua a six.
Well, don't you remember they're funny because they're like funny?
Yeah, no, I just meaning that there's so many to choose from that it's hard.
Here is something also. When I saw... Now, Tom Waits is from California.
Yeah,
but you'd think saying that someone would make fun of you. Like, oh, is Tom Waits from California? You'd think someone would be like, no, you idiot, as has happened in the past.
Sure.
But this time he is from California.
Legendarily, once in the past.
Yeah, he started in New York. He briefly performed in New York, and then he moved to California.
Ooh.
Like Led Zeppelin.
Yeah,
going
to California.
Mm-hmm. Great song. That's one of my favorite songs.
Well, you know
songs.
Who they met down there.
Who's that?
Danny California.
Is that right? Also one of my favorite songs.
One of my favorite people.
California, rest in peace. What's the next thing he says?
Simultaneous release. A disgusting lyric.
That's pretty gross. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because women can't come.
That should have been one of his poems.
All right, let's listen to Old 55. This is the first track on this playlist.
This is off of his first album.
Yes, Closing Time.
Based off the Semisonic song.
Exactly.
Time went so quick. to my old 55 as I pulled away slowly, feeling so holy. God knows I was feeling alive. Now the sun's coming up, I'm riding with Lady.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, right at the beginning of his career. It's off of his first album, and it's during the time when he was essentially a lounge singer.
Yeah.
And he did that until he started collaborating with Kathleen Brennan, who became his wife.
Uh-huh.
And that's when his music got, like, more experimental.
Sure. And she's related to Neil Brennan, correct?
Yes, I believe so, yeah.
She introduced him to the three mics.
Yeah. She was actually on the third microphone.
So I looked up. I went to a new site to get some information about this song. This song is about Tom's friend Larry Beezer, who while on a date needed to get her back to Pasadena, and the only gear left on his car was reverse. So the song is about the drive back home in reverse with every car flashing him, a bunch of cars stuck behind him because he's so slow going backwards, being overtaken by trucks because he's going so slow, and even though everyone else on the road is mad at him, he's had a great date and is generally pretty happy.
There's no way that's true.
It says Tom discussed this on the VH1 Storyteller album, which probably means he's lying.
Yeah, I think the clip Tommy took was from the Storyteller.
It's where he admitted that he's going to make
up stories.
Yeah, he seems like kind of a liar.
He does.
Someone else writes, this is Tim Boking, writes, literal meaning is about driving his old truck home after hooking up. The deeper meaning is about death and after having lived a full life.
Wow.
That's what this podcast is about.
Yep.
The literal meaning is people defending music that some people shit on, and the deeper meaning is about death and piss. yeah, that's a great song. I really enjoyed that one.
I love that song.
I like his voice when it's like that. Yeah, it doesn't scare me.
It wasn't
so much.
It wasn't quite as gravelly.
And was that the first dance of your wedding?
It was not. No.
Whoa.
No, it's
having heard the rest of this playlist, I'm very surprised to hear that.
The next one is was the
oh, okay. First okay, dance that makes wedding. Sense. Tommy, any thoughts before we start this next one?
I thought it was great, and yeah, I thought it was interesting that the Eagles covered it because
yes.
The harmonies in the chorus are kind of Eaglesy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes sense. But then I read that he didn't like their version.
Yeah.
He called it antiseptic.
Ooh.
There weren't enough trash cans in it. Like, banging yeah. On things.
Damn. All right, this next song is called I Want You.
Yeah, and this was my first dance at my wedding.
I want you to want me.
That's what I requested, and they played this instead.
Fooled them.
I want you, you, you. All I want is you, you, you. All I want is you. Give you stars above, sun on the brightest day. Give you all my love. If only you would say that I want you, you, you. All I want is you, you, you. All I want is you.
Short and sweet.
Yeah,
it's not illegal because we cut 3 seconds.
I was telling Tommy earlier before we started recording that I hate to dance. So the song was just short enough that I was willing to do the entire dance.
Yeah, it was between this and a ringtone. Yeah.
Well, he specifically designed it to help people when they were making power hours because he knew that it's about a minute and you're
good. Yeah, this is a specific phase of his career when he was really looking out for college guys. One comment I read on here is perfect early Tom Waits. This song never gets old. Not much else to say. He wants her. He hopes she wants him back. Damn. What a pretty song.
And yeah, that's beautiful.
That doesn't appear on any of his studio albums. It was unreleased. It's on the early years.
Damn.
So you can't find it on any.
Do you know why that is?
He just had a whole bunch of stuff, you know, before he put out his first studio album, like other things he had been playing. And so they just did a collection a few years later.
He is insanely prolific.
He really is, yeah.
To an alarming degree.
Yeah. Tommy, you ever felt that way?
That I'm too prolific?
No.
With my one podcast a week?
Sometimes I worry that you're too prolific.
I'm burning the candle at both ends.
You ever been that in love there, Mac Man?
Oh, every
Tell
day.
Us a story. Weave us out. Weave? All right, let's move on to Hang On, St. Christopher.
And this is where he actually starts to get more into the sound that people associate with him today.
Yeah. Funkier already. Hang on, St. Christopher, to the smoking hall. Buckle down the rumble seat, let the radiator fall. Got an overhead downshift and a $2 grill. Got an 85 cabin on an 85 hill. Hang on, St. Christopher, on the passenger side. St. Christopher, the patron saint of travelers. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tommy, what do you think about that? You're a Catholic man.
I enjoy sainthood. Hope to someday be canonized.
You're most of the way there.
You dropped off that year of generosity, so I don't think it's going to happen.
I haven't announced
that
yet.
I know it's
not the year of pies. What the fuck is it? First of all, I was going to make an announcement.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry. I thought you already did.
Oh, I saw it on Facebook, I think. Or Twitter, maybe.
Yeah, but the podcast fans are a different breed.
You mean they don't follow you on every form of social media?
They're all illiterate. You got to tell them these things. They can't read.
Are you just talking about Tim McLaughlin right now?
Yeah. Man. God, we read one of his statuses.
I don't even know Tim. I've never met him.
Let's read one of his statuses and see if it makes any more sense than
Tim is the Tom Waits of comedy. He's just a vaguely homeless drunk, mostly incoherent.
He opened for me this week at the comedy. He did a great job. His very first set, he fucked up his first joke. It was so funny. He tried to add like a new thing to it. He's like, oh, damn, that didn't make any sense. it was
one of those things he didn't have to say. He could have just moved on.
Yeah. But boy, what a piece of shit. I also asked him if he had... I told him to bring gym clothes, and he said, I don't have any.
Nice.
I don't think it really matters, but actually, I believe Frank's Wild Years was after Rain Dogs, just in the order.
Ooh.
Oh, that is...
I slipped that one in today. I had something else there, so...
This one actually makes some sense, I guess. Let's see.
Tom Waits does a lot of devil lyrics.
Yeah, he does.
Which I don't mind that, except, you know me, I don't fuck with that devil.
Me neither.
I don't like the devil, and I don't really support his politics, but God, he is hot.
Well, that's very true.
His most famous
lyric. Very well-tailored suits.
That is true, and hey, how about that tail?
Yeah, it's pretty hot, too.
Tim McLaughlin says, dude, this is crazy. I don't think it is like this for all of them, but at the end of Avengers Infinity Wars, the credit scene was a video of me trying to suck my own dick. Well, that's been a status with Tim.
And then a similar, here's a Tom Waits quote that I find to be similar. He says, don't you know there ain't no devil? It's just God when, he's, drunk.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a cool quote.
That's pretty good.
That's almost as good as Tim's status.
I think that's in Going Out West, actually.
That's a great quote. I really like that. I think that there's no such thing as the devil. There's just Tommy when he's drunk.
I am making deals with a fiddle often.
This next song is called Singapore.
It sounds, it's basically David Tell's Insomniac song.
This feels like it would be in Pinocchio or something.
He has a lot of songs that sound like sea shanties. And I feel like this is probably the prototypical one. Rain Dogs is one of his most famous albums, actually. Every merchant marine needs a theme song. So.
The legend Tom here continues the sailor theme from his previous album, Swordfish Trombones, particularly the second track from that album, Shore Leave. It also has shades of the opening track of that album, Underground. Both are jumpy, up-tempo, introductory tracks about a world of misfits. But where Shore Leave was downbeat, low-key, and focused on the minutiae of a rainy trip, Singapore is a tour of a carnival of misfits. Oh, and the lyric is Rope of Sin, not sand. That's the correction of the lyrics sheet from above. You guys don't need to know that. The land of Nod equals falling asleep, obviously, but Nod was also the land that Cain took off for after killing Abel in the Bible. Interesting. Making feet for children's shoes equals a euphemism for sex.
Ew.
Now, Tommy, you love that sort of shit, right? Fucking pervert. In the land of the blind equals, this is a quote from Erasmus. Erasmus,
I think.
My bad.
Jeff Asmus, as we said.
Oasis Defender. There's some song facts for yo asses.
I think that every musician should be limited to one sailor-themed album. You can't continue that to another album.
Nah, fuck that.
Yeah,
he has like a carnival theme in a lot of his songs too, and I think this is...
That's what scares me so
definitely carny,
much.
Yeah.
I don't like carny tunes.
Me neither.
Here's a comment that's pretty important. It's from Edward Thomas. I'm from Singapore. Makes this song twice as awesome. Thanks for contributing to the podcast. Oh boy.
I get that way with Cleveland songs too, so I understand.
Oh, yeah.
So
what Cleveland songs are there?
Cleveland Rock.
Cleveland Rock.
I know that. Is there anything else?
That's probably it, right?
The Pretenders. I went back to my city was gone.
Ooh.
I went back to Ohio.
Sure. And that one that's like Concrete Jungle Where Dreams Are Made
of. That's a famous Cleveland song.
Talking about Cleveland.
Danny Cleveland by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that got referenced twice on this episode. Going to Cleveland in a big jet plane. All right. Let's hear the next song on this playlist, which is Going Out West. Cleveland.
This is a song that got me into him.
Ooh.
And also, a lot of people know this because it's on the Fight Club soundtrack.
Nice. That movie gets me fucking fired up, man.
And the devil lyric is in this song, actually.
Giving it away. I wanna do what I Going out west, huh? How about that? How do you guys feel about that?
It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I love that song so much.
Apparently, there's a cover from Queens of the Stone Age, and I kind of want to hear that.
Old so 97's it covered it too.
Ooh, there's like the four different
in the
covers.
Movie Clay Pigeons.
Oh, yeah. There's like this song's been in two different movies. Damn. This song's been covered like four times by pretty major sources, but I want to hear the Queens of the Stone Age one.
You just like bands that kick women in the face?
Is that what happened? Oh,
Josh
shit,
Holm
I
kicked a female photographer in the face.
Well, in that case, we have to listen to it. Oh, it's not on here. Damn it.
You know what song he should cover? He should cover Sorry by Justin Bieber.
Is it too late now to say sorry? Because I kicked you at the big old party.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Well, we can't find the cover, so that's fine. We still enjoyed that song well enough.
Yeah, of the up-tempo ones, that was my favorite. Yeah. Of the up-tempo ones you sent us. It's very cool lyrically. I really enjoyed it.
I think the
it.
Devil stuff is... I like Devil lyrics.
The album it's on, Bone Machine, is actually... It's my favorite Tom Waits album. It's the first one I bought, and I love every song on it. And it's more electric than most of his other albums.
Uh-huh.
Like, okay. I think it's more accessible.
It is, yeah. It's just kind of more punk, yeah, electric guitar that I didn't hear in the other... Carney and stuff.
Well, this one's written from the perspective of an interesting character, in this case, a gruff man who is endearingly over-serious about his dream of becoming a Hollywood actor.
Ooh.
So there you go.
So did the Pixies song Bone Machine come before or after this?
Before the name of the album?
This was released in 92. Before. Bone Machine was in 92.
Interesting.
So, who knows? No one will ever know. I wonder if I can find that right here.
I was about
actually.
To do that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking here.
When did Surfer Rosa come out?
Pixies. Here.
1988.
Oh,
okay. Oh, shit.
So take
so
that, Tom.
So Tom Waits ripped them off.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a damn thief.
Not as original as he thought, huh, bud?
Hey, bitch.
the other Tom Waits song a lot of people know is... Down in the Hole, because it was the theme song for the
movie. Yeah. Oh,
and
shit.
Here Comes Your Man.
It was just all Pixies names, yeah. I totally forgot that was Tom Waits. Damn.
All right.
Yeah, he does love the devil.
What is that about, huh? Tommy, how do you feel about that devil? You're not
I'm a
fan.
Saint.
Let's hear Chicago.
This is off his most recent album.
Even braver to go wherever she goes, I go. Everything will be better in Chicago.
Wow, Chicago was so 2 years ago.
I like that because I'm from Chicago, so it's twice
double
as
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like the title track "Bad as Me" more, but I picked Chicago since you guys had
lived
you know,
in
from
Chicago.
Hell yeah,
good choice.
And also, I'm trying to convince my wife to move to Chicago, so ooh. I think I'm just going to start singing this.
Oh no, why are you doing that?
I'm
tired of these
tired
mean
of
streets,
New York City,
tired of these surly sidewalks.
So you're saying
I like big cities, but I'm also a Midwestern guy, so I might as well have both.
Sure. Chicago's a fine city, and we were glad to have lived in it at one time of our lives. I speak for me and Tommy.
Maybe things will be better in Chicago. As Tom Waits once said. I do love that in songs or movies, characters thinking life will be better in a different place. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I always
enjoy. Of course. That's what's so great about, what's that old, I mean, the Homer's Odyssey thing. Oh, brother, where art thou?
It's,
I like a movie about
I thought you were talking about Homer Simpson,
place.
And I was thinking the Ghost Chili episode.
Yeah.
That's the spiritual Odyssey?
That thing, The Simpsons.
that show with Homer?
let's see. Mr. 093242. He had something to say about this song. Typical grass is greener on the other side song. Still very good, though.
What a weird dismissive comment.
Typical.
I mean, sure, I liked it, but it was so trite. Come on. Yeah.
Typical. Let's see. Sounds like a man who is feeling troubled about his decision to follow a girl from away from his home to Chicago specifically. He's only going because she's going, and he doesn't know if it's going to be better or not, but he hopes it will be. Thanks, Anna Land, for your comment.
Ooh.
On this song. On songmeanings.com.
Nice.
What do you got there, Mac Man?
Nothing.
Oh, you just said, ooh, but it was about that comment?
About you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not think that that was going to bar any kind of response. Yeah, I, you know, it's about moving somewhere for a lady. I did that. This song should be called Ohio. And it doesn't work out, Tom. Oh, boy. So that was the playlist.
Sorry? And you're from Ohio?
I'm
like
from
what?
Cleveland area.
Just from the Cleveland. Okay.
Yeah,
nice.
I'm from actually right outside Oberlin, where Oberlin College is.
Nice. Yeah. Our friend Lena went there.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the pod. Yeah.
You know, your other friend Karen O.
Of course.
Well.
Yeah. I just said that unintentionally.
Nice. Should we save this other song for later because it's not really a part of the playlist, or do you want me to play it now?
Oh, well, we've got the phone. Why
not?
So, I also threw, under our Spotify playlist, I threw my favorite Tom Waits song, a song I like to listen to around Christmas time. You'll hear why.
Yeah, this one's great.
Halloween is a good time. Charlie, I'm pregnant.
It's kind of a junior situation.
On 9th Street, right above a dirty bookstore off Euclid Avenue. Stop taking dope.
This is where the Holt Steady got the idea to just reference places in Minneapolis.
In Minneapolis, yeah.
My old man plays the trombone and works out at track.
Has Craig Finn talked about
Tom Waits? I
think so. In fact, I don't even think they've done any Tom Waits covers, at least not any that are well known.
Because you'd think that, you know, interesting voices.
Yeah,
and,
you would think so. And stories are like story songs, essentially.
Yeah, totally.
Give me a ring. I'm going to read the song text while we listen to it.
Yeah, just put it loud.
In New York City on November 21st, 1985, Waits preempted a performance of the song with a story. I was in Minneapolis. It was 200 degrees below zero. I know you think I'm bullshit. No, I swear to God. I was wearing just a bra and a slip and a kind of dead squirrel around my neck. He was colder than I was. The police cars would go by and they'd wave, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Anyway, I got caught in the middle of a pimp war between two kids in chinchilla coats. They couldn't have been more than 13 years old. Throwing knives and forks and spoons out into the street. It was deep. So I grabbed a ladle, and Dina Washington was singing Our Day Will Come, and I knew that was it.
That's a good
That's
story.
Yeah. Oh, Nico Case recorded a cover of
the
song.
It's very sad.
Damn. That's enough of this.
The hell?
Damn. That's a good song.
Best part.
Live with my folks.
I just like that part. Live with That's my
pretty
folks.
Good. Pretty good. So it's about a lady who's pregnant, blah, blah, blah. Who cares?
Oh, my God.
There's a whore on the street.
This is another one
concerned.
Of those hooker Christmas card songs. Anyway, pretty good.
If it changes your scores, you can swap that in, too, for Singapore later.
Oh, damn. The Oompa Loompa
will,
from hell. Song.
It would absolutely change the score. But we won't reveal those scores until
no,
the
I,
end of this.
I respect that you put it in there just because it is, I feel like, emblematic of a lot of his career.
Yeah, it really is.
It would be a lie to put on only the first two albums and stuff like that.
There was one of his albums, Alice, which is all about Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
And I originally had a song in there called Tabletop Joe,
ooh.
Which is the story about a guy without a body. He's just a head.
Oh, wow.
And he just hangs out on top
to
of a table.
Why not? We're just having fun. Tabletop Joe. Let's find it. I said it as if I already had it pulled up. And
is Tabletop Joe in any relation to Runaround Sue? Do you think they're friends?
Yeah, because Sue could run. Sue has legs.
Yeah,
he's only a head.
They're a perfect match.
They're the yin and yang. So.
Damn.
Yeah, I almost included this. Reminds me of like New Orleans jazz band or something like that.
Yeah.
Where my mama didn't want me
on the day I was born. I was born without a body.
He gets right to it.
I got nothing but
everything you need to know.
He's telling me. He's growing on me.
Yeah.
I liked that.
That's cool.
That was pretty good. And that I liked how gravelly his voice was there, too.
I ain't got nobody. That's pretty good.
I like the cheater. That's
a little bit of David Lee Roth.
Yeah. What we should... Damn it, I wish we could find some examples from other cartoons that he covered, but or that he sang about, but that's all right.
Wait, so let's talk about... Can I get the chord?
Yeah.
So one thing I, for some reason, had not heard about, which I'm sure you've heard about, that people think that Heath Ledger's Joker character was based off Tom Waits. Have you heard this?
I actually have not heard that.
Oh, boy, no. You are in for a treat.
Yeah, so I'd never heard that until today, and then people like... People are upset. There's this one interview from 1979 where people think that Heath Ledger based his performance off that. So I'm going to play clips, and you guys can guess whether you think they're from Tom Waits or from the Joker. All right, let me know what you... And they're each about a minute and a half long. So you have a lot of time.
The intercontinental United States, Japan, and... I travel extensively in Europe as well.
We can't guess until the end, right?
Yep.
I don't do half
attention.
Bad.
They tell me you have a new market now in Ireland. Is that true?
Yeah. I've performed in Dublin and done very well there as well.
You look like a leprechaun. You should do well there.
Well, I...
He stabbed him with a pencil.
I'm also big in Philadelphia.
Excuse me.
I feel like I'm at my grandmother's.
So what do you guys think?
That's very obviously Tom Waits.
I'm going to go Joker.
Give me your evidence.
Well, I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't think the Joker spent any time in Ireland. So and I don't think he has a fan base.
That
there.
Was the one thing that threw you off.
It was. Hearing that now, though, I can definitely hear the voice. Like,
yeah,
it does feel
sure.
like Heath Ledger took a lot of the voice.
Now, wait. Let's listen to this. Could be either of them.
Let's wind the clocks back a year. These cops and lawyers wouldn't dare cross any of you. I mean, what happened? Did your balls drop off? Hmm? You see, a guy like me...
Freak.
Damn right.
a guy like me. Look, listen. I know why you choose to have your little group therapy sessions in broad daylight. I know why you're afraid to go out at night. The Batman.
Okay, who do you think that one was?
Well, they didn't say whether or not he looked like a leprechaun or not, so I'm not sure.
I don't know if that guy's been to Ireland or not.
That leprechaun line is the craziest part of this.
Yeah, watch
that
whole interview.
It's so awkward to just say that to somebody. We were talking about that earlier. What a weird thing to like just say to somebody in the middle of an interview.
Yeah, it's a 9-minute interview, and it's interesting because Tom Waits answers every question.
Oh, so
question.
It is Tom Waits. Okay, good.
Yeah, that second one was actually his intro to A Christmas Card from a Hooker in Minneapolis
exactly.
From VH1 Storytellers.
That was VH1 Storytellers, yeah. But yeah, so it's like a 9-minute interview, and this guy is just like acting like it's really awkward the whole time. But Tom Waits answers every question he asks him, so I don't know why. He's acting like he's difficult. This is an interview where he is being difficult. This is a press conference we'll listen to a little of. From 2008.
Calm down. Hold your horses, baby. We'll get to all your horses. What? I dated your mother? Oh, my God. How is your mother?
Well, he laughs at his own
plans death. Plans of tours? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Frankly, there's absolutely nothing that's random about it. If you think about it, from the beginning of time, we've all looked to the night sky for guidance and meaning. And, I mean, how did the Magi find the Christ child in the manger?
The question was, who plans the tours?
And when we're all lost, what do? We look up to the night sky.
So I just wanted really quick. He pulls down like a big poster board with the names of all the cities that he's going to.
As I connect the towns.
It's in the shape
here,
of the Big Dipper, right?
Yeah.
And our route across the Great Southwest, starting with Phoenix, Arizona, you'll see a pattern starting to emerge. And you'll notice it has a corresponding night constellation. The constellation Hydra. Now, as you watch over here, the first letter of each town forms what we call an acronym.
It doesn't, first of all.
No.
Escajumba. P-E-H-D-T-S-C-K-J-M-A.
I used to think he was like delightfully weird. And the older I get and the more exposure I have to him now, I'm just like,
now, let's unlock this further.
Oh, this is definitely contrived, yeah.
He's like, I guess I still have to be weird. I've been doing it for 40 years.
Envy, happiness. Dogs, though, sense courage. Knowing jubilation means better assets.
That's Tom Waits.
It's not an acronym when the letters are already other words.
Yeah, it makes no sense. He's just like totally wasting time.
Oh, yeah.
And
sure.
Now we have exposed that to you, the listener. So what do you think of your god, Tom Waits, now? Let's go to Jared before I forget. He left us a voicemail. Can I get that cord back from you there, brother?
Give you the cord. Back to my folks.
All right. Oh, come on. My damn phone. All right. So this is Jared Thompson, the owner of the Comedy Attic in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana, where I was just at this very weekend.
Ooh.
Thanks for everybody who came out. I love you. I appreciate it. And without further ado, this is Jared.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Tom Waits. This is tough. Again, because Tom Waits is one of like a handful, like Leonard Cohen, maybe a couple others, who are like known as this legendary, even if it's sort of like a culty thing, artist that I have almost no depth of knowledge on. The times that I have listened to Tom Waits, I mean, it's just like embarrassing sounding to me. Like, I don't understand like why he sings like that. Like, it's just, it's very unpleasing to my ear, and it just seems like it's not, I don't know, like, it's definitely not for me, but sort of like when it comes to Bob Dylan, or even to a, Tom's gonna think this is funny, but even like the Counting Crows, goddamn, I can't believe I'm saying that, where like you kind of have to trust that there are people with good opinions of music who like the band or artist. So it's possible that I just don't get it, I guess. I mean, but man, his voice is just horrible. It just doesn't sound like music to me. It's just, I don't know. Anyway, great seeing you, Tom. For everyone listening out there, Tom has become one of the best comedians in the country, and it was just wonderful to have him here last weekend. So I'll talk to you guys
later. Oh, my God, Jerry. That was so nice. Holy shit.
He only went to Bloomington because the constellation map worked out that way.
That's true. And hey, why'd my check bounce, Jared? You think this makes up for that? No, love you, Jared. One of my greatest joys in this life is hearing Jared maybe question Counting Crows.
I would have been okay with Jared's opinion on Tom Waits, but I really like the Counting Crows too.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's where he lost me.
This is a pro Counting Crows podcast, first and foremost.
I think that I maybe knew at some point that Jared didn't love Tom Waits, but I had forgotten. I was kind of surprised to hear that because I feel uncool for not loving Tom Waits a lot of the time, where it's like, because I know that this is maybe a stretch, but I love Modest Mouse, mm-hmm. and there's similar themes in the music.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's very much like it's a lot of booze in music.
Yeah, where they both like to get rid. Yeah, talk about getting really drunk.
And they both seem to be people who love Bukowski or something.
Yeah,
like it's shit that I'm in. Like
Modest Mouse, they're really subtle about that.
They literally have a song called Bukowski. But who would want to be such an asshole?
These bands that mythologize drinking, that's what they say. Mythologize drinking.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say.
You need to mythologize for the things you've done on this podcast.
That's not what that word means at all.
I also
just because it rhymes with apologize?
I saw in an article today, Tom Waits, he quit drinking like 25 years ago, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So. Oh, we have to read this Facebook story real fast.
Oh, yeah.
It's somebody posted a Facebook story right now, and I'm really interested. No. Has anybody used Facebook stories?
Well, now they cross-post the Instagram stories.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Weird. All right. So my friend Jess Fielder, who I went to high school with, and she's a great lady, she wrote, "Oh, I've got a Tom Waits story. My ex-stepdad is a drummer. Told me he went to record a track for Tom Waits in New York. When he arrived at the building and got out of the cab, he practically had to step over a bum smelling of booze and sleeping in the gutter to get into the building. Made it upstairs, waited for 10 minutes or so, and finally Tom shows up. He was the bum. Said he was up late and figured he'd better just sleep outside if he wanted to make it. Max said he came in and killed it. P.S. All the World is Green is my favorite song of all time. Strangely, I've never much gotten into any of his other music. Just that one."
I don't know that song.
I don't know that song either.
Should we YouTube it?
Yeah, I guess we should listen to it. Let's see if it's on. What if it's just someone else? It's a different artist completely.
I watched one of his Letterman videos, and he was talking about,
when I was in New York, everyone was jogging. And he goes, "I thought it was an acronym, Jamaican Zone Green." And I was like, oh, man.
Then he didn't have
he just loves acronyms, yeah. I guess.
His old Letterman interviews are a lot of fun. He just chain smokes through all of them.
It seems like Letterman gets a big kick out of him, which is nice.
This is All the World is Green. I'm going to skip up a little bit, actually.
Oh, that's all Blood Bunny. Yeah, I don't know that one as well.
Came my way. Ooh. Rested all against the sea to have a better life. Breathe you all the wild blue sky.
I like that. And do
foolish things. Yeah,
that was a good song.
Damn, good call, Jess.
He released. When he released Alice, he also released Blood Money, so he did them both at the same time, and it was supposed to reveal like two different sides of
yeah. I guess, how he was feeling at the time.
Yeah.
A lot like Conor Oberst did with Bright Eyes.
The real question
when
is...
When he did Digital that? Ash and...
when is Tommy going to release Alice? You know, that lady, he's got his tied up in his room. That's incredible. Hey, what a prolific bastard.
Yeah.
Let's read some more comments here. The one that's got everybody all stirred up here is from our buddy Chris Caligero, who's really rubbing people the wrong way. He writes, "The worst of the worst, man. Like if that evil clown car from Twisted Metal formed a Bob Dylan cover band." Which, having listened to what we've listened to today, when I read that originally, I was like, you know what? I love that. I love to hate something before I listen to it, because then it's one less thing for me to have to learn about or listen to. And people are going to shit on me for not knowing a lot about him already, but whatever.
Chris and I have very similar taste in music, too.
So that's shocking.
So, yeah, a little bit.
But you love Twisted Metal. So.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I used to love Twisted Metal. What a weird-ass game.
I never played it.
Ooh, doggy. You should, I mean, you don't need to go back.
Yeah, it's I think I'm busted now.
You can drive around an ice cream truck, though, and shoot missiles at people.
Pretty good.
Nice.
Just like the real world, if you ask me.
Whoa.
These days. In this America? Justin Sadkin says, I saw an industrial punk band live once in a venue way too small for that. They use speaker distortion as an instrument and not in some genius way where it doesn't sound like a broken speaker. Those people thought that was good, so who knows, man. Same with Black Licorice. This is a guy who loves Tom Waits and arguing with Chris. Rain Dogs is one of the greatest albums ever, says Brett Erickson. Some people were offended that we even are doing this episode.
Which is a good thing to vocalize. It's a good way. It's a good use of your time and our time.
Hey, Max Fine, get fucked. let's see here. Do you have plans for a U.S. tour? Oh, this is someone asking Tom Waits questions.
I think this person thought that we had Tom Waits on the show.
Oh, God, that's great. Samuel Hollis says he sounds like what a garbage disposal would sound like if it sang. Got his ass, Samuel. David Glasspool says probably one of
are
my
these
least...
names real? Sadkins, Glasspool,
well, Sadkins
Fine.
Not... Sadkins. You know Fine is real. Sadkins is a nickname. His name's Adkins,
okay.
But he's a sad man.
Ah, I get it.
Let's see.
I could have made the leap. From...
Glasspool, David Deadpool says... probably one of my least favorite recording artists. He sounds like a drunk cookie monster. Just could never get into his music. I feel that.
My first job after college, I was working at my alma mater, and we had two law students who were interning for the summer.
Uh-huh.
And we would listen to music in the office, and I played Tom Waits one of the first days.
Yeah.
And then I tried to do it again, and one of the interns said, "No, I don't want to listen to the Cookie Monster guy."
Oh, wow.
Damn. So that's a common
burn.
Then
he played
for
the Black Crowes, and I hate the fucking Black Crowes.
People either love the Black Crowes or like them.
Sounds
those
like you need
options
to talk to angels. Like she did.
Bob Gurnett says, "I'm convinced people all agreed he was cool and decided to pretend to like him. There is no such thing as being in the mood to listen to an old drunk mumble. Well, some of us don't have stepdads, do we, Bob?" Let's see. David Twitty, "This is a bad opinion on anything." Arguing with Bob. Man, a lot of controversial opinions on
people here. People got mad.
Yeah, a lot of people were mad in this thread. There's a lot of comments on here. If you want to check it out, go to my Facebook.
I feel like all the Minnesota comics were very defensive about Tom Waits.
That makes sense, because they're stupid and hillbillies who think that they're smart. And several of them have been on this show recently.
Yeah,
I understand why people don't like him. Like, I love Tom Waits, but I completely get it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised Zach Peterson says, "Never has there been a cool guy to listen to that I have felt was more unlistenable. It's all pretense and zero actual enjoyment for me." Damn. Zach needs to... we're going to bring Zach out now right now to fight you.
Damn.
So. I didn't see that one until just now. Damn. There's a lot here. But
when did you first listen to Tom Waits?
Yeah, what,
did
you, what got you into him?
2001. My junior year.
The towers
year.
Came down.
Yeah. My junior year in college, my friend Emily moved to Chicago to go to the University of Chicago. We went out and visited her for spring break. And spring break in Chicago in February. Great idea.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It was 20 degrees the entire time, all we did was drink and listen to Tom Waits and watch movies in her apartment.
That sounds awesome.
Great time.
Yeah.
Let's go do that.
All right.
Is she still living there?
She lives in Evanston now.
Ooh, nice.
Why you lived in Evanston for me?
Yeah, she got her PhD from Northwestern. I think she's working there.
Huh? That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
We can't quote Kanye anymore on this show.
No.
It's over.
But yeah, from there, and then I went and I started buying all of his albums. Going Out West was the first song I really loved.
Nice. And did people shit on you? Like, did friends of you get it, of yours besides this coworker, of course, get annoyed with you for putting it on?
Not really, no. Actually, my friend, one of my best friends in college, also got really, really into him. So
yeah.
We would just put the music on all the time.
I gotcha. I feel like college is the right time to get into this. I was in 2007 or 2008, my buddy was all about Tom Waits, and I was like, man, he's so cool. I should get into that. And then every once in a while, I'd pretend to like it, but I couldn't get up. I just, that growling, it scares me. Although now he's kind of endeared himself to me throughout this episode, so there you go.
People have alluded to it too. It is sort of a thing, like at a certain point in your life when you start to get into like Bukowski and Leonard Cohen too. Actually, Joe and Jared brought up Leonard Cohen. I was big into Leonard Cohen as well.
Uh-huh. This my buddy was into Leonard Cohen too, and I was
he definitely fits in that like lifestyle type.
Yeah.
Thing, so,
Tommy, what is your past with this man?
I don't have a lot, honestly. My knowledge was so limited, so I was definitely intrigued. Like, I totally forgot that the Wire song was him.
I was going to look up Tom Waits quizzes, but I feel like I don't know that anything would come up that would be that would be that fun. And I think that your quiz really
I think you nailed it. It was so difficult too.
Actually, this one might be fun. It's, are you a listener of Tom Waits? Let's just do it, and then we'll give our ratings and wrap this back.
Okay, cool.
Up. What do you think? Let's see. In what U.S. state was Tom Waits born?
California.
All right. Oh, is this not one where we? Okay, here we go. I got to click start, of course. The next question is, I got it wrong because I clicked not the right thing.
God damn it. You're trying to throw this for me. You're from Midlands, right?
They said I was going to play football.
I'm keeping track of Tommy's points on the side, though, so don't worry about it. It's fine.
What Tom Waits song is Scarlett Johansson's debut album named for? Fuck. Anywhere I Lay My Head, Blind Love, Time, or Closing Time?
Anywhere I Lay My Head.
All right.
Oh, Blind Love was the other song we were going to do for our wedding, our first dance.
Because your wife is, of course, blind.
Yeah.
That's right. What is Tom Waits' middle name? Alex, Johnson, Allen, or Daniel?
I think it's Allen. I'm not sure, though.
That's correct. Damn. Which is not a film featuring Tom Waits' acting or music? Paradise Alley, The Elephant Man, Bram Stoker's Dracula, or Rumblefish?
The Elephant Man.
Let's see here. You are correct, sir.
So is that 2-2?
I think it is 2-2. What is the title of Tom Waits' debut album?
Closing Time.
I'm going to give that one to Johnny.
Damn it.
And it is incorrect. It's Blood Money. No. It's a bad quiz. Which of Tom Waits' songs was covered by the Eagles in 1974?
Oh, my God. It's Old 55?
Yeah.
Why'd you let him have that, John? You're too nice.
I talked about it earlier.
Which English nursery rhyme is referenced in Tom Waits' Midnight Lullaby? Sing a Song of Sixpence, Oranges and Lemons, Goosey Goosey Gander, or Over in the Meadow?
When I sing a song of sixpence, it's Kiss Me.
It's not the richer, I'll tell you that much.
I think it's Over in the Meadow.
All right.
Not sure.
Kiss Me is a song by
it
Sixpence,
is
not the richer.
Sing a Song of Sixpence, which I'm going to give to Tom.
Tommy got that one. Tommy's winning.
Who was the first artist to record the cover of a Tom Waits song? Josh Caterer, Tim Buckley, The Eagles, or Beck? Definitely not Beck.
The Eagles?
All right, let's see here. Do you have a guess before I put
Tim Buckley.
It in here? It was Tim Buckley.
Ah.
That's how we got to do this. Who sings a duet with Tom Waits in the song I Never Talk to Strangers?
Bette Midler.
Damn it.
Damn. That's correct. Which song from West Side Story did Tom Waits cover on his album Blue Valentine?
I Feel Pretty.
One
I
hand.
I feel pretty. I'm so pretty.
One Hand, One Heart, Cool, America, or Somewhere?
Somewhere.
That's correct.
Damn it.
What was the title of Tom Waits' last album released with Asylum Records?
Oh, with Asylum.
Blue Valentine, Closing Time, Small Change, or Heart Attack and Vine?
I mean,
Heart
Asylum?
Attack and Vine, I think.
Do you have any ideas there, Tommy?
My only idea is Asylum. Yeah, sounds like the Joker.
That's minus 1 point for Tommy. But you can get back with another
Asylum. Yes.
You can get it back with another Sixpence None the Richer reference. They had another one besides Kiss Me, didn't they? Didn't they have one? Fuck. I can never remember their other hit.
It's the only song of theirs I know.
Is There She Goes? Thing?
Yeah, I think that's it.
No, that's
no,
The Lost.
No, that's the... Yeah. Mm. I think I might be thinking of that, though. I might be screwing that up. Who did Tom Waits marry in 1980? It.
Oh, I said her name earlier. Kathleen Brennan.
All right. You know, she's related to Kevin Brennan.
Oh, off the White Guys Matter show?
And you're on that, right, Tommy?
Yep. That would be so. It's me, Aaron Burke, and Kevin Brennan.
All right, last question. Which Tom Waits song was covered by Tori Amos on her 2001 album, Strange Little Girls?
Ooh.
Which is also what Tommy has his Tinder set to. They have descriptions now.
I have no idea.
Blind Love, Anywhere I Lay My Head, Singapore, or Time?
Time.
Tommy is correct.
Wow.
I didn't keep score there. Who won?
I think it's pretty close. I think Tommy might have
definitely
pulled it out,
couldn't
actually.
Have been a tie because
how many questions were there?
It was 13 questions. I mean, we could do another one for.
I've heard of 13 Reasons Why, but 13 questions tie?
That's good enough. Tommy wins. John loses. Let's rate this playlist. Tommy, what are you thinking over there, my boy?
Loved Old 55.
Okay.
Loved I Want You.
Yes.
Then we get into the woods.
I believe we're at sea. We were in the woods.
despised Singapore with the fury I'd never known before and will never know since. I didn't hate it. I just, it was definitely scary.
Yeah. Hang on, Christopher. What do you think about that? Or hang on, St. Christopher.
Yeah, I didn't, not for me either.
Okay.
So then you get to these other two. So
going
right
out
now
west
we're at
Chicago.
A 2 out of 4. And both those I'm kind of on the fence about. So I'm going to give both those a 0.5. I'm going to go with a 3. And because it is the year of banana pudding.
Oh, wait. Going out
longer.
West only got half a point?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's right. That's you're right. You
I thought
heard
the lyrics
here,
were cool.
No longer the year of generosity.
It is the year of banana pudding, which means that I will change the score from 3 points to 3 puddings.
And is that does that add up 1 to 1 with points?
Almost. Almost exactly.
And because it is Tommy's year of puddings, we'll see that reflected in my score
of
Jell-O's. Of
Jell-O's, you Cosby ass.
I actually really liked Going Out West. I loved the first two songs. Chicago gets a 0.5 for me because of, you know,
I should have done bad as me.
Affiliation. Yeah, there's a lot of things you should have done differently in this life here, John. But I wasn't a big fan of Hang On St. Christopher or Singapore. But wait, what did you go? You went with 3?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3.5. And because it is Tommy's year of banana pudding, I will be going with 3.5 banana wafers.
Interesting.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm going to stick with Jell-O. Cosby's innocent. Thanks for listening. No.
Well, you're also pudding. I mean, that's Cosby as well. So.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh,
fuck.
No. All right. Well, that's what we're talking about. What do you give the playlist there, John?
I'm going to give it 6 sweaters.
Oh, nice.
Wait a second.
Six Cosby sweaters. I honestly, I don't think they're... I could pick any combination of his songs that I wouldn't give 6 to.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's why, because he's so eclectic and it's so different that you could, yeah, that's interesting.
I think into it.
I love his entire catalog.
All right. Well, that's been the podcast. John, thanks so much for coming
on.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, what would you like to plug
there? I also have a podcast. It's called 1994.
It's a nostalgia podcast where we go month by month.
Oh, we don't support nostalgia podcasts.
Yeah,
the whole thing.
Unlike this one, it's a nostalgia podcast where we go month by month. Where so, for instance, you know, we just recorded the May 1994 episode from May, and it's myself and Brandon Ream, and my wife Amy is our sound engineer.
Hell yeah.
And we have a Comic-Con every month, and the only problem is I have to find comedians who are old enough to be able to talk about 1994.
What was I doing in 94? What year did Dumb and Dumber come out?
Was that 94? It was 1994.
That is the best year in American history. Damn. As far as I'm concerned. What
three
film.
Jim Carrey movies that year. The Mask,
that's right.
Dumb and Dumber.
In one
Ace
calendar
Ventura,
year?
Right?
And Ace Ventura.
Wow.
How is that possible?
That was it's insane. That was his breakout year. Yeah, he was like...
He did a Caroline's Breakout Artist series.
Tommy, what would you like to plug there? Pally?
Whatever. Go to my website. See all my dates.
Yeah, do that up. I'm going to be at Clusterfest doing You Up Live with Nikki Glaser. What else do I have? Me and Tommy will be doing a live stand by your band.
At a theater.
At a theater in Bloonington.
You were just there.
I'm from there.
20 hours ago. You can't say it.
In Bloomington, Indiana for Limestone Comedy Festival. We'll probably be doing stand-up around there, too. Why don't you come check it out?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be there. I'm not sure if it's a surprise Thursday night. But come to that. Hell yeah. We're going to have a good time.
Are you doing that brewery show?
I don't know. I think I'm doing a late show.
Okay.
Yeah, but we could talk about this later. Limestonefest.com for tickets. It's a great time. There's going to be great acts there. What's his name?
What's his name? Will be there. Chris Gethard.
Judah Friedlander.
Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Margaret Cho. He'll be there.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a great time. Come out to that. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband. And if you're not mad at us after this episode, why don't you give us a rating and review on iTunes? That helps us out.
And if you are mad at us, please. To quote Tom Waits, why so serious?
All right. Thanks for listening. Keep it crispy.